Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 4, entitled Characteristics of Vishuddhi. Text 19. This is the last verse of this chapter. And since this is again written in prose, therefore I would like to just read the word for word translation. Sa
he
kadachit once arda mama
while on tour
Bhagavan
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Lord Vishuddha,
when he reached the place known as Brahmavarta, identified by some as Burma, and by others as a place near Kanpur, Brahma Rishi Pravara Sabhayam. In a meeting of first class Brahmins.
While the citizens, Nisha Mayantinam, we are hearing.
Atmajan, his sons, Avahita Atmana, attentive, Prashraya, of good behavior, Pranaya,
of devotion, Bhara,
by an abundance, Suyantritan,
Well controlled, although
Upashikshanayam,
teaching, thus, certainly.
Uvacha,
said.
Translation. Once, while touring the world, Lord Vishuddhi, the Supreme Lord, reached a place known as Brahmavarta. There was great conference of learned Brahmins at that place, and all the king's sons attentively heard the instructions of the Brahmins there. At that assembly, within the hearing of the citizens, Vishuddhi instructed his sons. Although they were already very behaved, devoted, and qualified, he instructed them so that in the future they could rule the world very perfectly. Thus he spoke as follows, and that we'll see in the next chapter. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The instructions of Lord Vishuddhi to his sons are very valuable if one wants to live peacefully in this world, which is full of miseries. In the next chapter, Lord Vishuddhi gives his sons these valuable instructions. Thus, I will walk down the purpose of the 5th canto, 4th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled characteristics of Krishna Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I will read the verse once more. Once while touring the world, Lord Krishna Dev, the Supreme Lord, reached the place known as Brahmavarta. There was a great conference of learned Brahmins at that place, and all the king's sons attentively heard the instructions of the Brahmins there. At that assembly, within the hearing of the citizens, Vishwadev instructed his sons, although they were already very well behaved, devoted, and qualified. He instructed them so that in the future they could rule the world very perfectly. Thus he spoke as follows. So this section in the Bhagavatam is speaking about Vishwadev and his 100 sons, and the foremost, the most wonderful son was Bharat. And in his honor, India was named Bharatavarsha, and the entire world was named after him, Bharatabhumi. This verse is speaking about education. Education, well behavior, virtues, peace, prosperity, all due to education. Vedic culture has been the most advanced civilization, the greatest. There are so many civilizations we have seen in the history of Kali Yuga, Roman Empire, Greek Empire, Mongols, maybe the British Empire, and so many have been there. But it's all Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga means quarrel, hypocrisy, and only virtues are not there. Kali Dosha Nidhirajam, Kali Yuga is an ocean of falls. So all these so-called civilizations, they only cause harm to the world. Exploitation of the people, the world, the killing of animals, and environmental pollution, and a lot of confusion, atheism. But Vedic culture, what a wonderful, perfect civilization that has been. And that is all based on literatures. Any culture or civilization is built on literatures. Usually the intellectuals, they guide society. The society is supposed to be guided by saints and sages and any system in the world. You can speak about something like communism or capitalism or socialism. They're all based on some ideologies, philosophies. And they came by the intellectuals, the philosophers. But in talking about these philosophers like Marx and Hegel, maybe a little further back in history, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and you can see in the beginning, the ancient Greek philosophers, they had still some virtue, still some good principles, some even were a little similar to Vedic principles. But as Kali Yuga is progressing, modern philosophers like Freud and Nietzsche and Descartes, and they all spoil the world with their philosophies. And now we can see what is the result, that everything is based on materialism. It is atheistic, it is based on greed. The only thing they think about these days is economic development, advancement of technology, so that we can have more sense gratification. But what are the results? The result is that people become very unhappy, that the environment is polluted, and wars and famine. And Mother Earth is reacting in all this. Fake civilization. It's perfect. And why is it actually perfect? Because it is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What distinguishes the Vedic civilization from others, if you can call it civilization? It would be a good idea, someone said once. What do you think about this civilization, British or whatever it was? And then he said, what do you do?
Gandhi.
It was what?
Gandhi.
Gandhi,
yeah. Said it about British.
Yeah, you're right, Gandhi. Yes. So I was thinking there is three different aspects that distinguishes the Vedic civilization from all the others. The first one is that it is based on the Vedic knowledge from the Vedas. The Vedas are called Apurusheya. They are the breathing of Lord Vishnu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead gives a manual how to use this world. And it's like if you have a complicated machine, computer or TV set or whatever. Now, there's a manual in there, an instruction manual. So the Vedas are like that. Now, how to have a perfect world, a perfect civilization. And another word given to the Veda is also Hetu. Hetu means that the Vedas are a bridge for becoming free from all miseries, a bridge to cross over the ocean of miseries in the material world. But that is the highest purpose of the Vedas. So that is the first point, Vedic literatures. The books are the basis, Prabhupada always said, books are the basis. The basis is perfect knowledge. And then the second element of a perfect Vedic society was that the Lord always descends in India. And so many incarnations of the Lord. And nowhere else. It's his favorite place, seems. And then the third principle is the greatest of sacred personalities have appeared in India. Therefore, these three points, Vedas, the Lord, and the great saintly persons, they make it a great culture. And I would like to treat these three systematically. First, I will talk about the Vedas. So, even from the material point of view, the Vedas are a great treasure house of practice. practical knowledge, like we have organizing society, we have Manusamhita, Dharma Shastra, Dhanurveda, yeah, that's warfare. And so there is a lot of knowledge how to organize society, how to organize Parmashram Dharma, and all the occupational duties are described for all the different members of the varnas, and then all law about all the knowledge about perfect law, and other aspects in society, architecture, art, music, craftsmanship. Even farming, how to do perfect organized agriculture. Everything is just perfect in Vedic society. There is astrology, people in the modern world don't know who to get married to, but a pundit would go and he would read the chart, and you would see, this boy and girl fit to be matched together. They will be happy. So all these things are there. Then for perfect health, there is Ayurveda. Perfect knowledge, how to have a healthy diet, how to have for strength and for longevity. And medical science, and not medicine like we have now with so many side effects in the pharmacy industry. We see that for one cure you have so many problems, and you have to take another medicine. But Ayurveda is just, people more and more start to realize that. So all these things are yoga, not for spiritual life, but just for health, physically and mentally. If you would just follow this perfectly, then we would be very happy in the material world. All these practical Vedic knowledge like that. So the Vedic knowledge is given to us, it comes to us through a perfect system, the Paramahana system. The original knower of the Vedas. Vedavit means I'm the knower of everything, and also the Vedas. I compile the Vedas as Vedavyas, Vedantikrit. So then, in the cyclic succession, the knowledge is perfectly handed down to us, and the persons who teach the Vedic knowledge, Brahmins, also Kshatriyas, like in this case, King Rishabhadev is teaching his sons. So throughout history we see Krishna, Vivashvan, Manavitaha, Manavirishvaka, Vidravit. The knowledge was given by Krishna to the Sangha, to the great kings, and they passed it down. Not only Brahmins were teaching, but also saintly kings, the Raja Rishis. And in this way, the whole society became enlightened. So the teachers of Vedic knowledge are saints. Mahatmas, great saints, and the Brahmins are very qualified. Shamo, Dhamma, Tapasho, Chambu, like that, many wonderful qualities like peacefulness, self-control, austerity, tolerance, honesty, religiousness. And these wonderful virtues are there. That is real civilization. And people who are Brahman means someone who realizes Brahman, who must be. So now we come to the spiritual aspect. The Vedas not only help us to organize a perfect society with peace and prosperity, but also to liberate us from samsara, from the repetition of birth and death, to mitigate all suffering in this world. Yatvamam shantim richati. Krishna says that if you know that I am the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, the best friend of everyone, then Yatvamam shantim richati, then you will attain peace from the banks of material miseries, like that. Even already in this life, this is all possible. So, Vedic knowledge. Then, the second point, the Lord always descends in India. Can you imagine that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He chooses a particular place to appear? Like Vrindavan, as Krishna. There, why he comes there? He comes there as his favorite place, because his devotees are there, pure devotees, and always has been like that. Vrindavan is the place where eternally the pure devotees and Krishna are present. Like that. And there are many other sacred places in India, like Ayodhya. Like Lord Rama was there, and the kingdom of Lord Rama, Rajaram, was so opulent that elephants were sprinkling perfume on the streets, on the roads, and everything was smelling very nicely. That's very good. So, what a civilization! Just, can you imagine perfume? It's very expensive. French perfume. You get only a very small, tiny bottle, and you have to pay a lot for it. So, what there, they would just sprinkle it on the streets. Many liters. An ocean of perfume. So the Lord descends in India, and this in the Bhagavad Gita he explains why he does, why he comes to this world. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious principles and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So to re-establish religious principles. And also by Dharanya Savyam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanataya Sambhavani to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to re-establish the principles of religion. I advance myself millennium after millennium. Over and over again the Lord comes to do this. So in this way Vedic knowledge is always restored. Devam Brahmavaratam Imam Rajarsha Duvidu Sakalaniya Mahatayu Nashta Parantapa. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of the civic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in the course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the knowledge of this appears to be lost. So when it appears to be lost, the Lord comes. Recently he came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the reason why this is the most advanced culture on this planet, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead makes sure it is there. And the third point is the greatest of saintly personalities. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find so many descriptions, biography of the greatest of saintly personalities, with so many virtues, enlightened personalities, empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. And they all take birth there in India. And there is a system how to keep them coming, the saintly person. Dharva Yami Sanskar. This is the ritual of purification for purification, so that pure souls appear in our families. In this way, the entire society is strong to be purified. Like Vishwadev, he was praying to conceive a son as good as the Supreme Personality of God. So, no, not Vishwadev, the king. Yes. So he got his Rishabhadev. And Rishabhadev means the best. It means the best of humans. So what makes a civilization a good civilization? Good people, isn't it? Civilized people. So and his son Bharat became very, very popular. So the whole world was named after him. And we can read about the Pandavas, how wonderful they were, Maharaj Yudhishthira. Just at the end of Kali Yuga, when Kali Yuga started, he was there. When they appeared, then everything was lost. And Kali Yuga really started, and they disappeared. Maharaj Preacher, and then. And even in modern days, India has produced, in this government, great saints. Great. We could give the example of Gandhi. He was called Mahatma. And I saw the film, the biography, I think at least four times. Couldn't get enough of it. It's just very inspiring. Although, compared to the Vaishnavas, saints, and Gaudiya Vaishnava saints, there is a little different. What you could say, he is a saintly politician. And can you find any lawyer like that in the world who can do what he did? You know? And the whole world admires him. So that is a he was non-sectarian. You know, he said all religions were respected. You could live in peace, side by side. You know, he was very compassionate. He didn't want to discriminate any people. Everyone should be respected equally. So these are virtues. These are the right. This is the good mentality that the world needs. What the world needs is the saintly heroes. He wasn't afraid of that. He was very, very, very determined. So determined that he fasted until he almost died. And he voluntarily went to jail and would sit there. And the people of India became so, so inspired by him that the entire country just followed him in his example. Non-cooperative, non-violent resistance. And the British, they were just embarrassed. The whole world was witnessing. And it worked. No one ever did that in history. No your ministry, always the weapons you are taking to become free from the my English is not my language, so to become free from the occupiers. I want to speak about our saints and our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. One day people will become aware of it, and they will, many people will be impressed and inspired by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Personalities like Narottamdas Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannathas Babaji, Gurudashodas Babaji, Shubhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and what to speak of our dear ones, Srila Prabhupada. Gandhi was determined, but how determined is our Srila Prabhupada? When he came to the West, when he boarded a ship, he was a good man's age. He had two heart attacks. Can't imagine that. And in the 12 last years of his life, he traveled the world 14 times. And in the night, he didn't sleep. No, he translated the Vedic knowledge out of compassion for the fallen souls. And he was successful. No one ever had been so successful to spread the essence of culture, the essence of civilization, the Ishavasya principle, the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be worshipped by everyone. Then there will be peace and prosperity in all of the world, there will be better quality people, and there will be a better life after this life. We all will go back to Godhead. So the essence of all Vedic knowledge, the essence of this civilization, is, we can read that in text 15 of the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I quoted already before in this class. Vedais cha sarvaya aham eva vedyo vedanti kriti vedyo eva cha aham. That the purpose of all Vedic knowledge is that we know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and come to devotional service. That is the I am to be known. The purpose is that I am to be known of all Vedic knowledge. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he calls the Sankirtan movement Parabhupakara. Parabhupakara, the greatest welfare for humanity. And we can find it in the purport today, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the instructions of Lord Vishnudev to his sons are very valuable if one wants to live peacefully within this world, which is full of miseries. So the material world is dukkhalayam shashvatam, and people will suffer very much. And this life and the next life. And out of ignorance, ugra karma is created. Vikarma, horrible word, sinful activity. And therefore, the results, the reactions will come. They will have to suffer more and more. So therefore, Parabhupakara, the greatest welfare activity is to enlighten people with this Vedic knowledge and bring them Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, one name of Krishna is Ram. In the Mahamantra, we find Krishna, Rama, and Hari. So Rama, in Sanskrit, root is Ramanta. Ramati, Ramanta, like that. That means unlimited source of pleasure. So, and that is our right. That is what the Jivatma is consisting of: eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So bliss is our real nature. And so the real civilization is that civilization. Real education is that education. That ultimately people can be free from suffering in this world and go back to God, the spiritual world. So we should be proud of what we have. Now, I remember when I joined this movement because I could see this knowledge is superior to any other in the world. Although I was young and I hadn't read so much. But later, when I joined, I started to read other things also and compare. I could see this is most nice. And we should be proud of it. And very grateful that we received it. And we can pay back. We are obliged. We owe Srila Prabhupada. He gave this to us. And therefore, we should give it to the world. And that is the most dear service to Srila Prabhupada and to Krishna. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, the preacher is most dear to me. So that is what we have to do. But first we have to work on achar before we can work on rachar. Now, achar means perfect behavior. And then when the perfect we become, Srila Prabhupada said, the definition of a devotee, when he was asked, what is the definition of a pure devotee? Then Prabhupada said, he's the perfect gentleman. So that is what we have to do. We have to follow in the footsteps of all these great personalities. We can't imitate them, but we can follow in the footsteps. And by education and training, and try to develop a wonderful society where our children are trained properly and we are trained properly, and so then we can become perfect gentlemen. And, a devotee is not someone who only is reading Bhagavatam and thinking of Krishna all day. No, we are very practical. We are standing on this planet and we have a great mission to accomplish. And when we want to do that, when we want people to take us serious, we have to show them that we are also professional. We are also suchi paka. We are clean. We are expert. And everything is neat and clean around us. And we are always very friendly and polite. That is part of civilization. And these details are very important. And sometimes we look like a bunch of hippies. We talk about very advanced spiritual topics. That was in the beginning days, in the hippie time. Dropouts, you know. People who were not really taking all the good manners and the etiquettes of society so serious. They did whatever they wanted, like that. Some freaks, somebody. But now, the hippie era is over. We should have developed a little bit into ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. But that one, according to the Western standards, Vedic standards, which are superior. And then people will be impressed. Achar, perfect behavior. Then there is also the principle of purity is the force. If we are very pure of ourselves, then we don't even have to speak. Just by the presence of someone who is pure, people will become impressed and inspired and also beautiful. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he came, just by viewing the Prabhupada, just by beholding him, devotees and people became became very inspired. And, so this is very important. And after achara, after wonderful behavior, we can achara, and we can preach. I think I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Yes.
Thank you for a very nice class. I just want to ask you about, you said achara, prachara means first to develop good character and then we'll be able to be it. And also you said about the mission, the mission. But my question is, of course we have do you think it's because Prabhupada said that you can wait until you're perfect in order to preach because until you're pure? Because if you wait until you're pure, you will never preach. He said that that's. I was wondering, I think maybe by preaching, even if you're perfect preaching, you get purified. Like that.
No,
because we have this mission, and therefore maybe we should prepare ourselves to become teachers of us in order to help others. So, maybe also, even if you're not pure enough, you can be able to try at least to practice until you become better teacher. Even though it's not the highest one, you can understand that one. The very project. How's that comment?
The activity of preaching itself helps you also to develop qualities. You know, I have to practice what I preach, isn't it? If I have to give good class, I have to prepare it. I have to make sure I'm fired up. Not like that. So that is fine. And if you know a little bit, you can preach it. If you know more, you can preach it. It's like there are different levels also, which academic, but everyone can do something, the experts. Some who are academic, they should teach me. Some less advanced education can teach to children, people in general. That is also important. Better send the person who is already a PhD to a degree. Send them to the university.
You got a lot of inspiration from Gandhi. I know it's the Srila Prabhupada, I think the two Gandhi's activities and they are thinking very much.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, when Srila Prabhupada was younger, he was very attractive. All his friends, his students, at that time Gandhi was there. But later, he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur convinced him that the most highest priority is to preach Krishna consciousness. That is what will be the best for India and for the entire world. And Srila Prabhupada realized that. And he did say he is a nationalist, you know. It's a little mundane. Prabhupada also wrote to Gandhi sometime, whatever, and he advised him to retire. But he never responded. And so, but you know, but if you go and look all over the world and you search for a politician like that, you won't find him. Only India can do news can produce a politician like that. And when he was shot, he called out the name of Ram, I heard Ram. So
it was the best of the worst.
Narayan on the street, you know, under okay. But Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have a very, very, very high standard, the highest standard of purity. I think Srila Prabhupada even said mirror Bibles would be the same, and there were so many other people are considered saintly in India. Srila Prabhupada, you know, said, what, there was this, or there was that little impersonalistic influence, or karma influence, or something. And, so that there is a very high standard we have in our tradition. Yes?
The main difference between her and the Gaudiya line is that she wants to approach Krishna directly.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Gaudiya line, you go last and last and last.
Okay, I'm sorry about this statement. I heard something. It wasn't very clear to me. Okay. It's good that you corrected this, because I don't want to be offensive towards the great saint.
The other thing is,
I'm really sorry that it's okay.
Would you say you think so? I think, as far as Gandhi was concerned, it wasn't that he was not pious, and indeed, the principles that Gandhi, like, he was simple and high thinking, probably accepted that fully.
Yeah.
It was part of the Vaishnava tradition.
Right.
But the thing about Gandhi is, he said he never even believed that such a person as Krishna really existed. So he was, I could say, confused. Some of the principles he taught, non-violence, etc., are very valuable. The other thing is, Prabhupada said that behind the scenes, it wasn't only the non-violent protest that he made that brought liberation out of India, but Subhash Chandra Bose was also involved. So it's a little bit of a more complex story. So although we admire some of the qualities of God, in essence, he didn't even believe that Krishna existed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what he was thinking of when he said Ram, but I mean, of course, there's some benefit to chatting the name of Ram.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he thought Ram existed either. It's hard to know. Maybe his ideas also changed over time.
Okay. Thank you.
Just about this, at the end of his life, Daniel was practicing Kriya Yoga. He went on mountain and Kriya Yoga leads to the ocean. It's a type of yoga specific for yogis that introduces the ocean, the ocean aspect at the end of his life.
So things are not always so simple. There's more to it to know. And, can. Yes?
Can I just add to that? The most famous bhajans that Gandhi sang was Vaishnava Janato Jayanathakiyaki Priya Parayaja, meaning that a Vaishnava is someone that removes pain from another person. So he believed in the concept of Vaishnava, being a Vaishnava, and I think he very much believed in God. Whether which concept of God is something that we don't know at this point.
So Prabhupada said that Gandhi himself said he never believed that such a person as Krishna exists. Maybe he believed that Vishnu exists. Who knows? I mean, like you said, it's the concept wasn't so
good. The whole Vishnu concept he believed in, because that was this very famous project that he
had. Very interesting topic. Who is Gandhi really?
But I think Srila Prabhupada was right that can idolize human beings and make them equivalent to God, but they can no longer be any human being that is equivalent to God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Yes, maybe one comment about preaching. What I realized is when we preach about what we do, then we can inspire others. When we preach about what we know, then we cannot inspire anyone. So the main thing is that we learn to do more and more and more, to practice. We have this knowledge, but we also need to do it. We don't only have the knowledge.
That's more potent.
Yes.
Okay. Margie?
Thank you for the class. My question is a little different than the topic that is here. Earlier you state that Roshapur's son was Ara, and the entire world was known as Ara Raj.
Yes.
And hence, the Vedic literature, all is condensed in India, and great scientific personalities appear in India. So I would like to know at what point or how this happened, that all this was condensed in one geographical place, and the entire world was known as Harappa.
How it came that it's not the entire world.
Yes.
Yeah, because of how we do. Because of how we do, I'm not going to follow the religion. That's it. It's a very simple answer to the conclusion. In Kali Yuga, just even you can see now in Vrindavan, some things are happening which are Kali Yuga symptoms. Materialism. That's how you learn.
Yeah, I also have a comment that you spoke about Greece and philosophers. I once made a thing for my school about Plato and his Politeia, which is it's like a blueprint of a society. We gave it as an example of the soul. We was talking about the soul. And we take this blueprint of society. And I compared it with the so-called caste system in Bhagavad Gita, which was completely the same. So the conclusion was that either there is like a universal truth, or they had access to the scriptures. And my teacher completely agreed with my conclusion. What we know is that Arjuna's brothers, Nakula and Sala, they ruled actually that area. Greece and Turkey, they were sent by Yudhisthira to rule that area. Mm-hmm. So like that we can understand that people like Socrates and Plato, they had access to this Vedic culture and perhaps also literature. And one last comment is that one probably he said PhD, perfect humble devotee.
Thank you very much. Have a very nice day. Krishna Kruja's day. And Prabhupada Shiva Bhagavan. Shiva Prabhupada.